I think that there's so much growth. Sometimes we see a school in sophomore year or freshman year, you're going with an older sibling or you're going to a game because your parents, you know, are alums at that school and you're going, you know, to visit or you're by relatives, whatever the reason is. Now you've grown and you've changed and you've got to see it for yourself. And also college campuses are very fluid, right? Things change on college campuses. So is there construction going on? Is the culture, the political environment, something that you're comfortable with? Do you want to be go Greek? You know, yeah. Maybe early on you didn't want to be in a sorority or a fraternity. Now these are things that you've got to consider because you're going to be living there for 4 years. And, you know, the truth is you've got to see yourself there. You've got to talk to other kids on campus and you've got to know, and parents have to know if it's right for them.
As high school seniors stare down graduation, deciding which college to attend becomes more than just a choice. It's a step toward their future. Joining us to tackle this monumental decision is Marnie Levine, a seasoned IEC offering advice not just for seniors, but for any student navigating the college-bound journey. So stick with us, even if you have an underclassman. Marnie will guide us through the critical aspects of making a final college decision, from the role of campus visits to understanding the nuances of choosing a major. We'll explore the financial considerations that can impact your decision, how to approach unexpected aid opportunities, and the flexibility colleges may offer even after application and admission. Marnie's advice doesn't stop there. For those facing affordability challenges or doubts about their path, we'll discuss alternatives such as community college, gap years, or refining your college list for reapplication. Whether you're a senior making your final decision or an underclassman planning ahead, this conversation is packed with actionable insights. Together, we'll navigate the complexities of choosing the right college and major. I'm Lisa Marker Robbins, and I want to welcome you to College and Career Clarity, a Flourish Coaching production. Let's dive right in to a great conversation. Marnie, welcome back to the show.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
You're a fantastic guest. Thanks for making the time.
I love it.
So we are recording this, we should say, on March 1st, 2024. And we're going to try to get it out quickly because really, you know, by the end of March, all of our seniors, and I want to say real quick, if somebody has an underclassman and they're listening, they're like, oh, this is for families with seniors. No, it's not. Because the advice that we're going to give on how to make that final decision on which college to attend will help guide families with younger students as well. But this is timely for the seniors and informative for those with freshmen, sophomores, junior, because this will be you pretty soon. So it comes down to the wire. I mean, you and I know by the end of March, students, while some colleges let their students know very, very quickly that they're in or deferred or not accepted, you will know all of your options by the end of March, no matter where you applied.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, but it is this year we may not know financial aid offers because in 2024 the FAFSA is messed up.
Yeah, and that's causing a lot of schools to
delay.
Give some of their decisions, but also extend the period of time that students have to be able to commit to a particular school. They're giving students a little bit more time right now to figure out where the right place is for them while they're waiting for those financial aid.
I think that's a great place to start, really, is when in a typical year, you really have to make a decision by May 1st.
Yes, that's usually the deadline. And this year, some schools have pushed that back to June 1st just because that federal aid form is a little delayed. But for the most part, students have been getting decisions back from schools, and they've been collecting those decisions from rolling schools early in the year, August, September, October. And early action, early decision, and now they're waiting mostly for regular decision schools, which, as you said, come pretty much by the end of March, and then it's time to choose.
Absolutely. So as you're working as an IEC supporting families, of course, a family that's worked with Marnie is going to have a good college list. And so they applied to, they did the work on the front end and they applied to the right schools, a nice mix of schools. And now they're coming back in to chat with you in March or April. And obviously, I mean, I've always found they probably can eliminate some of the schools where they got in easily, right?
Yeah, I feel like when we develop a list, the goal is foundation up. I no longer call those likelies or safeties because I just don't think they are anymore. And I also think it's a little derogatory. I think foundation, right? That's what we're going to build up from. So the goal is that the foundation school should be something that you're proud of and excited to go to. It shouldn't be something that, you know, maybe you could just toss out. Though there usually are one or two that aren't a perfect fit for you in a perfect world. But by this time of year, most of my clients and most students hopefully have, you know, several acceptances, and they're trying to make a decision on where to attend. Where are they ultimately going to buy this education, get this education, use this education? And, you know, where is that perfect place for them?
So that family leans into, at this point, you know the student well, you know the parents, and they're sitting around the table in your office, or maybe you guys are on a Zoom call, and where do you start? Like, how do you, if they're down to like, gosh, I'm really stuck on these final two to three or four schools, and yes, I have these options over here, and I've decided I'm definitely not going to these schools. Let's wire into like, how do you give guidance? What are the questions they should be asking themselves?
So the first question to me is, did you visit this school? Have you stepped foot on the campus? Because yeah, you would not believe how many kids just build a college list without really seeing schools. And, you know, that's understandable because it's costly to go visit. It's time consuming.
Yeah. Well, you know, what it makes me think of is, do you believe, and there's different schools of thought out there, but in your practice, do students sometimes apply to schools that they didn't get on campus before the application was due?
Many.
Okay. So it's okay to, parents, I mean, if you're multitasking, listen to this, like it's okay to apply to a school, is what I'm hearing you say. Apply to a school that you maybe haven't visited because for all the reasons you just said, money, time, all the things, but don't enroll at a school that you haven't gotten on campus.
Absolutely not. Because many times we choose those schools based on something ethereal, right? It's a name. It's my cousin's cousin went there. My best friend goes there and he's happy. My camp friend goes there and she's happy. So to me, yes, you know, sometimes you have to choose a school without seeing it. Those schools might not consider demonstrated interest. It might be costly to go visit again, but you can never attend a school that you have not seen for yourself. You must do your due diligence, right? You've got to get on campus. The best way to do that at this time of year are admitted students' days. They're incredible. Schools roll out the red carpet for you and you will see other students who are in. You're not looking at it anymore from the perspective of, oh my, I'd love to come here, or oh, I wish I could get in here. Now you're in. The school wants you, and you'll see other kids who are in the same position as you and other families who are in the same position as you, and you'll be able to see, do I see myself here?
I love that. Great advice. And, you know, if somebody's got a younger student who hasn't applied yet and they're listening, I always say to families, like, be sure that you're looking at your high school academic calendar and you're creating the space for this kind of a second tour in the winter and spring of the senior year. Because I even found with my own children, as well as the kids that I advise, some of the schools that they visited early, they wanted to do a second visit to when they were making that final decision.
Absolutely. I think that there's so much growth. Sometimes we see a school in sophomore year or freshman year, you're going with an older sibling or you're going to a game because your parents, you know, are alums at that school and you're going, you know, to visit or you're by relatives, whatever the reason is. Now you've grown and you've changed and you've got to see it for yourself. And also college campuses are very fluid, right? Things change on college campuses. So is there construction going on? Is the culture, the political environment, something that you're comfortable with? Do you want to be go Greek? You know, maybe earlier on, you didn't want to be in a sorority or a fraternity. Now these are things that you've got to consider because you're going to be living there for 4 years. And, you know, the truth is you've got to see yourself there. You've got to talk to other kids on campus and you've got to know, and parents have to know if it's right for them.
If it's comfortable. So, okay, step number one, if you haven't visited, visit. Or if you did visit and you're kind of like, I visited that one, but take the time to get on campus. So then what's your second filter?
The second filter is we must talk about your major.
Amen, this is- right? We all know Lisa's passion and purpose in life is to help kids figure this piece out. So run with it, but amen.
Now you're comfortable. You know, okay, I'm going to be happy here. Everything, the culture fits what I want. Now, the only way to compare schools is by major. So you're comfortable on campus A and B. Are you admitted directly to your major on both campuses? If you are not admitted to your major directly, then what is your pathway into that major? Will you need to get a certain grade point average? Are there prereqs? Is there good advising? Is there capacity? You know, there are many capped majors. That means a major is limited to a certain amount of seats. You and I, Lisa, were just talking about certain states that limit that to in their own in-state students. So if you're going out of state to a college.
I'll just shout it out. Like University of Arkansas comes right out and says, if you want to study nursing or architecture, we do not allow out-of-state students to come in. That is a capacity cap.
You know, and that's something that's really important because hopefully you did your research and you knew that if you wanted to be a nursing or an architecture major, but perhaps it wasn't clear, you know, on the website or you didn't hear it or you missed it. And now all of a sudden it's something that you need to consider.
Well, I think you also bring up a good point. Like hopefully you did your research, but I think we both know that there are lots of families that, you know, I think it falls into two categories. Somebody who is very thoughtful with their list, like somebody who's working with you, put a lot of time, money, and effort into a good list. And we're going to have listeners who did this on their own and they maybe that was their first kid and they didn't know what to ask. And I hate to say they had a bad list, but they have a list that doesn't necessarily fit. And so there's two different sets of families out there. I mean, I heard from a mom this week. It broke my heart because she said, or maybe it was last week, but she said, I've been a longtime follower of yours. And I looked at our emails and she clicked through and listened to like every podcast episode, right? She said, wow. I haven't had a podcast for 4 years, but she said for 4 years, I've been following along. And my daughter always had confidence that she wanted to be an engineer, but she never did any job shadows, informational interviews, didn't really dig in to find it out. And now she's completely freaking out because she's admitted to engineering at all of her schools. She's a senior now. She got engineering specific scholarships and now she's doubting that that's her path. You know, now we need your course. Can we get in right away? And we're going to fast track them through the course. But it broke my heart because that was a family who thought they knew. But I think and now she's saying like, I might need a different major at these schools and how would that work? So your second question. Yeah.
Yeah. And that it's really difficult because it's not always clear as you and I know. Right. And so now going in and trying to figure out, can I get into a different major? What would I need? Is that going to add years to my education? Is that going to add cost to my education? Or is there a better place for me where, you know, I might be admitted to the whole school. There's few of those, but there are certain schools where you're not admitted directly to a major, and that might work for a student who doesn't want to be an engineering major anymore, you know?
Right. Or, well, we were talking about that research project that we just did. So we reached out to the state flagship university for all 50 states. And out of the 50 states, there were only 8 that admit to the university, but not to the major. And it's good to know that. Like, it's good for families to know, where do I have an assured path? Where will it be easy to change majors? Where do I not have to know before I go? And where must I? I mean, I'll link to it in the show notes, but that's at flourishcoachingco.com/majors, because we want to be transparent. And while a lot of colleges, it's not like they're trying to hide this, but there's so much information families need to know. They don't know how to get to that piece.
Yeah. And students do need flexibility. You know, they're not necessarily going to stay on the same path always. Hopefully, yeah, if they come to you or to me, they're going to at least have a better chance. But it's possible that they're not. And you need to understand, again, what you're going to be able to accomplish within those 4 years that you're there. So that's something that I would talk to everybody about at this point. What are you holding in your hands? What cards do you have, right?
Well, you brought something up too, as you were talking about that, like, if I have to switch majors, is that going to keep me in school longer? And now it's going to cost more. So talk about the financial filter. So, you know, have you been on campus, on the campus visit? Are you admitted directly to your major and you know what your options are? So money's the third one, right?
Money would be definitely the third. Actually, to me, money should be first, and it's almost off the table at this point. Money at this point, once you're in, if you planned wisely, hopefully you were aware of what the costs would be, that you'd be able to afford it, and that now we're holding apples to apples in our hands, right? So that we know that if we've got 5 yeses at this point, at the beginning of March, they are schools that I can afford. However, there are perks. There are places where you might be given merit money that you didn't expect. You might have been offered an honors program that came with a stipend, or research that came with a stipend. You might have all of a sudden fallen in love with a state school versus a private school, and the costs would be a little bit different there. You might have decided that you want to go on to graduate school in the last year, and maybe what you had in the bank needs to stretch a little bit further. So there are, you know, definitely considerations. And I think money's a perk. I say use brains for bucks. Why not take the money?
I love that. Use brains for bucks.
So, you know, I get kids all the time who are admitted maybe to that foundation level school that we put on their list, and they've been offered nice merit scholarships. At that point, you've got to consider, you know, what does that mean in 3 years to me or 4 years to me? For families, they may have other kids coming up the pike. Right now, they might think, I can afford it. There's financial changes that could happen. Why not take that money? You know, to me, it's definitely worth considering. And I don't love when people say, don't go to that foundation school, or you're better than that foundation school. That's ridiculous. You know, we chose that foundation school for a reason, because you'd be proud if you got that money or that honors program, where it would have value to you.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Those foundation schools will tend to be not only the ones that are giving merit aid, but where you're going to have more of, there's less competition, and you're the cream of the crop at that school. So you're going to have honors programs with smaller class size. You might have the honors dorm. You might have those research opportunities. And, you know, you've got to have those foundation schools on. And many times I've seen students choose them ultimately because of the perks.
Opportunity comes at the top of the class. Your professors will know you, you know, they'll recommend you for research. They'll recommend you for internships. They'll recommend you for jobs. You know, if you're the kid struggling at the bottom of the class, it's going to be rough to get those opportunities.
Yeah. So you made a good point about, if somebody's got a good list and they did the work, they have a list of schools that are going to be in budget. Like, you shouldn't even apply if it was going to be out of budget.
I don't think you should. I mean, I think that sometimes I hear families say, we'll figure it out if, you know, let's see what happens. But even I, as a parent, had my financial circumstances change with my oldest son. And, you know, while we said, oh, we'll figure it out, I was pretty happy when he chose our state university.
When you didn't have to figure it out.
So when I didn't have to figure it out.
What would your advice be to a family? A school had me in, this is pre-COVID, it's a number of years ago, but a school had me in to give a presentation in March 1 year. And I was not speaking just to seniors. I was speaking to all, you know, in general, freshmen through seniors. A senior mom during the Q&A session raised her hand and she said, you know, we're sitting here with these options. My daughter's got four schools that she's into. They have her major. She likes the schools. We can't afford any of them. And so this goes back to this good list, bad list. If a family finds themselves, first of all, if you're an underclassman, figure out the budget before your kid's falling in love with a campus and applying. If you have a senior and you happen to be listening and you're like, realistically, this is going to stretch us and we're nervous or we cannot afford it. This mom said, we can't afford any of my daughter's options. Like, I know the families you're working with aren't going to be in that situation. However, what advice do you give? I know what I said. I want to hear what you would say in that.
I think that there are lots of options for a kid like that, right?
Okay. So Maybe first of all, I just heard hope. There is hope. All is not lost.
There's always hope, right? Because not all paths are 4 years. Sometimes it takes a little longer, sometimes, but there's a few things you could do. Number one, you know, I would first look at all those schools and see what opportunities at those schools are there for any scholarships that she might be eligible for that you didn't know about before. You could check that out. You should also check and see, do any of those universities take any of her AP credits or her dual enrollment credits? Because sometimes that can shave half a year, you know, off of school. And that might, you know, ultimately make it a little more affordable.
Well, that what I just heard right there is don't think about just what freshman year costs, but think about what the whole time to graduation costs, right? I think sometimes we make a mistake. I see families talking about this and they make a mistake of thinking like they're talking about it in terms of 1 year of college, what it costs. But really, if you're getting out a semester or a full year early, which a lot of kids can, if they do it wisely, look at that total cost of attendance from freshman year to graduation, right?
Absolutely. And there's always ways to make it shorter, right? There's always community college or local classes that you can take that are less expensive, where we can be able to say, okay, I can shave off a half a year. And that's a lot of money in the end. So I recommend students do that anyway. It makes life easier, even if it doesn't make it less expensive in the end if they stay. Another thing that students in that position could do is consider 1 or 2 years at community college. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's a huge money saver. Many of the local community colleges in certain states have pathway programs to the big state flagships. So that's wonderful. Another thing would be a gap year. There are so many great actual programs right now that could buy them time to create a better list that's more affordable.
We actually have done 2 episodes before on gap years. One was a solo and one I had a guest. And I think sometimes people hear like, well, but that's more money, but it doesn't have to be. Like, we gave great ideas and I'll link to both of those episodes in the show notes, but we gave great ideas of like DIY gap year. It's not like sit around and play video games.
No. Gap year has to be do something meaningful. So you could volunteer at a hospital or work at a hospital if you thought you wanted pre-med, or, you know, you could try to find a research opportunity, or you could do something hands-on where you gain a skill that you might need for a future career. So If you wanted to be an audiologist, for example, you might get a hearing aid certification that takes about a year, as far as I know, from my niece, who's an audiologist.
Oh, cool.
You know, there are different things that you can do to make that year still have value. And during that year, then you reapply wisely.
Yes. So you've got the list of good schools. So look for scholarship opportunities. I think some families do miss that there can be scholarships that have additional applications that you just weren't automatically, automatically considered for. I think too, like if it's a family who maybe that school was affordable when you applied, but you have had a change in circumstances, you know, going in and doing an appeal and having them look at your financial aid package because maybe you've had a job loss or maybe there's a medical need in the family now that you, I've navigated that with families before. And
absolutely,
there might be some wiggle room.
Yeah, always ask. It never can hurt to ask. They can't take away your yes, right? So it always, it's always worth, you know, saying, hey, you know, is there anything you can do? And if it doesn't work out, you did your best, you asked, and now you make your choice for what you're going to do in that next year. But you can't just sit around and, you know, it's insanity to think that you'll just do it the same way and nothing will change, you know, or something will change. You have to then create a change, right? You have to look for schools that are more affordable. You have to look for different pathways in. And there are so many colleges out there. Don't just look at what's right in front of you or the 10 names that you know. Dig in and see what's in your budget.
I mean, there's literally over 3,700 four-year private and public, private, nonprofit, and public universities. So there is something, you know, and I think too, well, I want to go back to something you said because I don't want somebody, as we're closing here, I don't want anybody to miss this point. They can't take their yes away. I actually have had families not realize that before, where I'm like, contact them and see if they can do anything about your financial aid package. Or a kid finally dug in senior year and got clarity on their major and they were admitted to one major, but they actually want another one. I'm like, all you can do is ask. They're not going to suddenly say like, oh, because you asked that question, nope, we don't want you anymore. They're not going to take away their yes. And you said that quickly, but I'm like, I wanted to reiterate it because it's such wise advice and it should make us wise consumers and bold to ask for what we need.
Definitely. And I just had a client who believed in the beginning they wanted kinesiology. They decided they want business since then, and they're in at a big state flagship that's pretty exclusive. And I said, just ask. And they asked and they approved it. And yeah. So now that's an option for that student where it wasn't going to be a valuable option for them before.
I had a student a couple years ago. They applied engineering at a state flagship. They got into engineering. They took their Berkman personality assessment with me like later in the years when I met them. And they really figured out that, and they were pre-engineering where they got in. But the business school at this school was a direct admit and they decided they actually want and need finance. And I'm like, just ask. They asked in April of their senior year and they approved it. So wow. Same outcome, right?
Right. You can only ask. And if somebody says no, then that might be, back to our original topic, a reason not to go to a school, right? The pathway there isn't going to be for you. So always ask and always do the research because the ultimate goal is to get a job after this, you know, you need a career after this. And so, you know, that is, while college is fun and it's a growth experience and a learning experience, it is about eventually being able to come out an adult and you need to know that you've got a degree that had value to you.
Very good. Well, this has been so helpful and I love that we've got actionable items for a family in the throes of this right now with a senior. And I think that this is so helpful if somebody has a freshman, sophomore, or junior on how to do this right so that they'll still have to do this process come the spring of senior year, like really weigh the options. However, they're going to have good options.
Yeah, I think if they look at those things, and there's a lot of resources out there, they can look on Common Data Set, they can look at College Navigator, they can see how many kids graduate with a particular degree from that school. Yep. What are the career resources that are available to a student? Those are things parents can actually help with while the students are figuring out, is the culture something that I love? Right. What major do I want to be? But parents can really see, you know, behind the scenes, kind of some of the data that would make a college valuable. And that way, when it comes to this time of the year, they can help guide the student.
Fantastic.
To make a wise decision.
So Marnie, obviously you are a great resource. If families want to stay in touch or learn more about working with you, how do they do so?
They can go to my website, collegemarnie.com, and all of my contact information is there. They can see what we're all about. They can follow me on social media. We do some great takeovers. You and I are doing some collaborations there. So they could go to collegemarnie_ on Instagram, and they can find some of the collabs that you and I are doing, Lisa.
Yeah, you're an excellent Instagram follow. So, because you, you also are not just sharing your voice, you're sharing the voice of the students that you've worked with who are now on their campuses. And that's what we want to get out to families.
Thanks, and happy Marnie, on their campuses.
And happy on their campuses. I know this will not be your last time. So until next time, thanks.
Thank you. Have a great day.
As we wrap up our conversation with Marnie Levine on making that pivotal college final decision, it's clear the journey to selecting the right college and major involves thoughtful consideration, exploration, and some strategic planning. Marnie has provided us with a wealth of information, from understanding the importance of campus visits to evaluating financial aid options and beyond. For those of you looking to dive deeper into making an informed college choice, particularly when it comes to selecting a major, I have a resource to help you rule out or in a college based on the number of students earning a specific major at a college. This information can be crucial in understanding the size of programs you're interested in and whether the colleges on your list are investing in those majors. Remember, it can be a red flag when only a few graduate in a particular major. My step-by-step instructional video is at flourishcoachingco.com/numbers. I'll link to it in the show notes too. This video and many more resources are on our website, and they're designed to guide you through the college selection process. It's just one of the tools we've created to help students and their families navigate these important decisions confidently and clearly. Thank you for joining us on College and Career Clarity. If this episode has helped you or could aid someone else you know that's on their college decision journey, please share it. Following the podcast, rating, and leaving a review also greatly supports our mission to assist more families in creating successful futures.